I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Episode 316.
Y'all, it is Carrie's birthday week. When this comes out, you know, in the future, it's her birthday week.
And y'all, we got a jam-packed few weekends coming up for me. You don't even know all this, Donna.
I was like, wait, and what? I thought you were just going to like riff on that you have nothing planned for your birthday.
No, we actually have a lot coming up these next few weeks. Well, this weekend, birthday weekend, we're apparently getting like a cabin at this creek place.
Okay.
With his parents.
Oh.
It'll be fun. Well, it'll be
That's fine, but I thought it was good, like...
Oh, no, you thought it was going to be like a romantic getaway.
Like
No. It was like, this is the only weekend they have available, so we have to go this weekend.
Yeah, okay.
And Colby said that his dad told him that his mom has like already started packing because she's so excited to spend the weekend with us.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, okay, well, that's really freaking cute and sweet.
Yeah.
I have the best in-laws. But then the next weekend, I have my big work party down at the casino.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next weekend I work. And then the next weekend we're going to Lake Charles to watch my nephew's baseball.
Oh, gosh.
I know. I'm like, golly, I'm sleepy already.
Right? When do you have time for me?
You want to go to dinner with us on my birthday?
Am I not invited to dinner on your birthday?
Of course you are. I'm just, so you said, when are you going to have time for me? So I made time for you.
I was like, wait, where are y'all going to eat? Why have I not been included in these plans?
You know where we're going. My new hyperfixation is this Japanese place. Oh, and they have tuna tartare and the best udon noodles. They're like springy. They're perfect.
Okay.
Although I did hear this other sushi place in town has really good tuna tartare. And I'm like, well, I want to go try that. But nobody like eats just sushi like me, you know?
Yeah. Well, Tiffany does.
Oh, well, I'll take her.
What am I? A fucking matchmaker? And I just like match myself out of the equation.
Good luck, Chuck, over there every damn time.
Really, though.
Okay, you know the girl Christine Snaps on TikTok? Fucking love her. She's chaotic and I love everything about it.
Yes.
But the other day, she had a little montage of videos that was pure chaos. But somebody had asked her, would you rather have teeth for hair or hair for teeth? What's your answer?
Okay, teeth for hair or hair for teeth?
This is like literally the impossible of all impossible answers.
But you'd still have teeth, right? If
yeah, in your hair.
No, but you'd still have teeth if your teeth was your hair as well?
No, your teeth would be hair. Why would you have both?
But that doesn't make sense. Why would it be an either or situation?
Would you rather your hair be made of teeth or your teeth be made of hair? I don't understand why you don't understand.
Okay.
Guys, what's happening? Okay. This is not complicated.
Okay, give me a second. Because I'm going to say my hair made of teeth.
Like the the texture and the visualization of that is making my stomach turn. Like I couldn't be friends with you.
I mean, are you? Because I wasn't in any of those wicked plans.
Do you want to come to the creek and fish?
Well, no.
Okay.
But I want to know about it before the podcast peeps know about it.
Do you want to go to work with me?
Yes.
Do you? You do want to go to the casino with me?
Yes. No, but seriously, here's my question about this question. Okay. So if I had my teeth for my hair, what would be in my mouth? That's what my question
is. Oh, I see what you're saying. You'd still have teeth.
Yeah, then that's my answer. I cannot have hair in my mouth. I don't like it on my tongue. I don't like it anything, so no.
Okay, I see where you're going with what I thought you weren't understanding is not what you weren't understanding.
Okay.
I know. I just described our friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a sensory nightmare. Like, I almost can't even answer it. It's such a sensory nightmare for me.
Well, I know your answer, though, because last night when we were recording, you had some hair on your microphone and you couldn't even, like, do it because you were, like, watching it.
I was, like, go cross-eyed trying to find it.
Yeah, so imagine that in your mouth. No, that is the worst thing because you can feel it, but you can't get it sometimes.
No, and how would you bite?
I don't know. You'd braid your hair, I guess.
I mean, I guess people eat with no teeth, though. It'd be the same thing because it would just... Oh, and then it'd get all clumped up in there.
Okay.
Okay. Well, but the texture of visualizing hair, I mean, teeth as hair, is like really sending me. Okay, let's do another question. I can't think about it
anymore.
Okay,
I do have one.
Okay.
So this is one that they ask at work. Look, okay. Yours is TikTok, mine's work.
This is us.
Mm-hmm. How do you cut your sandwiches? Diagonal, straight across, or no cut?
Depends on the sandwich.
How did you think about this? Of course, because you overcomplicate things. After I just overcomplicated that other.
Yeah, I was going to say pot, meat, kettle.
But I said diagonal, like done, diagonal.
Yeah.
So what would yours depend on?
Well, my gut, it depends, because if it's just like a soft sandwich, like I just put mayonnaise, mustard on bread, put it together, I just eat it. If it's a toasted sandwich.
Wait, like with meat on that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You said a soft sandwich and then you said two condiments. So I was like, maybe you could do without the teeth because that's what you eat.
My dad and Colby eat mayonnaise sandwiches. Or my dad did. He did. But still.
No.
Yeah. No, got to have meat and cheese. But it can't be American cheese if it's cold. It can only be American cheese if it's hot now. I don't know. It's a thing with me now.
Okay.
Used to not be that way. Now it is. But if it's a hot sandwich, like I toasted the bread and then made it, it is cut diagonally every single time.
Okay. What about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
No, I don't cut this.
Okay. I do. But I do. Normally I cut them. Sometimes when I need to, fill my stomach up more, when I'm really craving it, I will do a whole sandwich and then do a half.
Yeah.
Like I just fold it.
Yeah.
So I don't cut it because I have that, like, I don't know. It's not the texture, but it's just like.
You have your taco.
Yeah. Like I have that visualization that it's cut. So I have that full sandwich, but normally I just cut it.
Which do you eat first?
What do you mean?
The half or the whole?
Oh, I eat the whole sandwich first.
Really? I always eat the half first.
I think I do.
Okay. Here's the question. How do you do your peanut butter and jelly?
Peanut butter first, jelly second.
I mix it and then put it on the bread.
That's how the school used to do it.
That's why I know. It's good. So good. When one of my nephews was little, he liked what he called peanut butter and jelly surprise. So you put the peanut butter and you just put random clumps of jelly in places, like in the corner. So he never knew when he was going to get a bite of jelly. It's just what he wanted. I want peanut butter and jelly surprise.
That's hilarious. Okay. But then here's another thing. They were like, well, if I'm eating a sub, it's cut like in half. And I was like, I didn't even think about that. Like, I literally was just like diagonal.
Yeah, well, because that's a sandwich, not a sub. A sub and a sandwich are, while they're in the same genre of food, they're different categories. So, yeah, they're going to be cut differently.
Yeah, I was just like, damn. But so many people said peanut butter and jelly, like no cut.
No, I don't cut it.
But I will also do the jelly surprise part, sometimes not meaning to. And so when I don't cut it, sometimes it like jellies on my belly because it cut. You know what I mean? So
jellies on my belly.
So that's why I like it in smaller little bites.
Yeah. God, we're losers. We just literally had a whole segment about fucking food. Well, not fucking food.
We're not there yet. We're not American Pie.
Donna's one incubus away.
I was just going to say, have you ever done that with anything?
No.
No, me either. That's just something that I can't do.
No. A hairbrush handle's a different
Literally was about to say that. I mean, when you were younger, things might happen, okay?
Oh, God. I hate everything about myself right now.
She's red. But literally, I was about to say it. I was like, nah, Carrie will be like, that's too much, Donna. But then you did it. So I'm like, okay, yeah.
Okay, we're going to move on from that. Let's talk about Patreoners. Thank you so much, Jackie D. from Illinois.
Joey G. from Washington.
Terry P. from Virginia.
And Courtney N. from Florida.
Thank you all so much for joining Patreon. If you want more of the nonsense, and let me just tell you, we crossed the line a second ago after the hairbrush incident. It's going to be on bloopers. If you want more of that nonsense, head on over to patreon.com/theapcpodcast. Okay, y'all know how when I bought this house, it came with a pool. Fucking love it. It's one of my favorite things in life right now.
But also like your least favorite thing?
Yes, it's the bane of my fucking existence. But Colby's like, we just need to fill it in. And I'm like, abso-fucking-lutely not. But anyway. Now, this had already started happening before winter. It had turned into a swamp, but now fucking Shrek and all the babies live in it. So we called a guy to come to, like, assess it, to be like, yes or no, can he get it ready? And then I was going to be like, can you come like once a month? Because, you know, Jack's with a doggy door. I didn't want him to get out, so we'd have to lock him in. We need to be able to come home and let him out. Blah, 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 blah. So the guy comes over, freaking loved him. Well, I didn't mean Colby loved him. They're like bros. And apparently he loves dogs. Y'all, I watched on the camera as Jax went out and met this man. And it was, he was like prancing outside, like galloping prance, like out the door going to meet this guy.
Aww,
it was so cute. But anyway, so now the pool looks less like a swamp after the first day, more like ocean water.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
But then after we put down the deposit to like start the process of fixing the pool, our washing machine broke. So that's fun.
That's how life goes, right?
Yep. Luckily, though, we know I'm Wreck-It Ralph. I married Fix-It Felix. So after a little bit of a panic set in, he was like, okay, this is what's broken. It's like a switch. So we ordered one from Amazon. It'll be in tomorrow, and I think we can fix it. Meanwhile, I'm wearing dirty pants to work tomorrow. Don't tell anybody. But I'm like, dang. Just when, you know, like, you don't want to spend the money to do the pool, but it's like, that's how we have it. Like, we need to get it summer ready.
Yeah.
Just when you, like, drop some money on it, it's like, damn it.
Yeah.
Life is like, but don't forget, being a homeowner sucks.
Right? Totally.
So Shrek and his babies can move out because Donna and I got some swimming to do this summer.
Right.
And by swimming, we mean lay on a raft.
Right. If it doesn't rain every freaking day.
I swear, there has been something like every summer that we've owned this house that's stopped us from swimming.
You almost died.
Then you almost died.
Almost died. Rain was like 24/7.
Yeah.
Just everything. I think it really is like when she got this house, we were like, holy fuck. Like, we'll be able to swim whenever we want.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've always been the people that's like, oh, you're gone for the weekend? Can we come over and swim?
Yes.
Or can we do this? You know, like always doing that. But Carrie got this house with the pool and then we've like used it. We've used it, but like we haven't got to enjoy it as much as we wanted to.
Those bitches are hard to maintain, especially when you're lazy and you don't fucking, I don't care how many science classes I've been at. I was never good at science experiments. So that of taking your dropper, drop five drops in, shake it, see what color it is, and know what to put in it, I don't fucking know.
Uh-uh. Also, I'm too nitpicky because I'm like, well, it could be this one or this one. So what do I do? Do I need to do this? You know, so
I know. I'm just not good at chemicals.
I'll never forget in chemistry, the teacher hated me because of my brother, but she put me with this guy. We were friends. It was cool. But I wanted someone who was smarter because I'm really bad at it. And we were just friends. So it was like, oh, we'll just do this, like goof around. And I needed to like impress this teacher, you know, like she couldn't have any little bit of rope to, you know, like, you know what I mean? And he broke a beaker and she blamed it like on me.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? Was just like, I thought you'd be more careful, blah, blah, blah. I remember that. And I just remember.
She said, I thought you'd be more careful to you.
Yes.
That bitch.
She was so hateful toward me. But
God damn it, Kenneth. I had to ruin everything.
But yeah. So I don't know. But when you said the science experiment.
Yeah.
I always go back to that one part and like him breaking the beaker. And it wasn't like we were goofing around. We didn't really know what we were doing because we both were like, you know, intermediate level, but
you were beginner level.
Yeah, let's just be honest.
I just remember my second or third year of college, had probably my third year of college, and I was taking microbiology, and I had this lab instructor that I fucking loved. She was a graduate student. That's how, you know, I'm sure that's how it works at most universities, and she taught me how to finally make a slide. Like, I had been through all of these biologies and like I never saw anything. Like, I never understood anything. And she was like, girl, you're putting too much on there. I was like, oh. And then it was like, I made a slide and I could see it. And I was like, holy shit.
Right?
You know, it was like a whole new world. Insert Aladdin.
Yeah. This is my brain. In my brain, when you said insert Aladdin, I said somewhere in the world, some someone has a vibrator named Aladdin. They're like, okay.
Jesus God. Do you write Family Guy? Like, that is like a cut too that like would be on Family Guy.
Why does my brain work that way? But I can't do science to save my life.
Well, before Donna tells us any more of her ideas, we got to talk about paired because, well, we love the idea of getting closer with our partners, whether it's romantic or platonic. Y'all have heard us talk about Paired. It is a relationship app for couples. And like I said, it doesn't have to be just romantic partners. Donna and Tiffany are doing it together. Colby and I are doing it together. And we're having so much fun. In fact, I need to do it right now because it just told me, hey, if you don't answer this, your daily streak is going to go away.
Right? Y'all, I've had so much fun doing these questions. One time, I was like, Tiffany, can you check the things? Because I just did a really funny one.
Oh, my God.
So she did. And it was like six things. It was about humor, too. So like, what makes you laugh? What, you know, blah, 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 blah. But it was, if your partner was a superhero, like, what would their costume be and why? And so, like, I went into this whole thing. And I don't know, it just like made her day. We were laughing about it, made my day. Like, and again, you're having fun, but you're also learning about each other. Though one question for like the day, I think like the daily one was, would you and your partner be on a dance competition or a food competition? And I put dance because I was like, I don't like uncooked meat and I wouldn't make Tiffany do all the work. And she put food because she was like, we ain't dancing.
Yeah. I'm like, have you seen y'all dance?
Better than me cooking.
True.
What would you and Colby be?
I said cooking without a doubt. He said cooking because I have two left feet. I can't remember which quiz it was the other day, but after we both answered, he was like, whoa, we did not do good. We got like one out of the five the same.
Yeah. Okay. So it says, if Tiff pulled a practical joke on you in front of others, are you more likely to find it funny or embarrassing? What do you think I said?
Funny.
What do you think Tiffany said?
Embarrassed. Yes. What do you think I said?
Embarrassed.
What do you think Colby said?
Embarrassed.
Funny.
I think he'd be embarrassed.
I think it depends on what it was. Actually, you know what I said? I said, it depends. I said, if it was in front of Donna and Tiffany, funny, but maybe embarrassed, depending on what it is, but more funny than embarrassed, but in front of anybody else, I'd be embarrassed.
Yeah. And I think for him, it's the scenario.
Right. But that's what's so great about Paired is that you can elaborate on your answer or it just gets you talking in person too, like we're doing right now about your answers.
Look, even though Colby and Carrie are married and he knew this about Carrie, but just with that question right there about being embarrassed or finding it funny, you kind of know that like you're a more private person. Mm-hmm. So for someone who was in a relationship, not yet married, they would be able to suss that out that, hey, she doesn't want like a big spectacle for an engagement or anything like that. She wants it more just us or, you know, things like that. So I think you can really build off of these questions and continue to grow and learn.
For sure. Whether you're just a few dates in or you've been together for a long time, it's time to lighten up the mood and have fun with your partner by using Paired. Right now, head on over to paired.com/creep to get a 7-day free trial and 25% off if you sign up for a subscription.
Again, that's paired.com, so paired.com/creep to sign up today.
Connect with your partner every day using Paired. A happier relationship starts here. Head on over to paired.com/creep for a 7-day free trial and 25% off if you sign up for a subscription. Okay, my story this week, we're kicking it back old school. Like I'm talking, this story starts in the 17th century. I really didn't have a clue what I wanted to do this week. I wanted something different. And so you know where I went.
AskJeeves.com.
Okay, no. I mean, I went back in time, but not to 1997. No, I went to All That's Interesting. And I found this story in their true crime section that I was like, oh my God, I love this. It's like a perfect, kind of like a palate cleanser. So it's definitely going to be different than any of my other stories. And given that it happens in, well, this person's born in the 1600s, but I guess the story happens in the 18th century. Anywho's it, there's really not a ton about it, so it's probably going to be on the shorter end.
Okay, but also, I love all that's interesting, but I also love Atlas Obscura. That's a good one, too, but it might be more for my kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But all that's interesting, it does so much, because I get some stories from there, too.
Because this was one of the first ones, like this story by Kalina Fraga and Jacqueline Anglis is published like just a couple weeks ago. So it was like on the front of it. Like I was like, oh, got to do that. And then the podcast Female Criminals has a good two-parter about this. Okay, so we are talking about Anne Bonny. So we don't really know when Anne was born, but probably around like 1697, 1698. And she was born near Cork, Ireland.
Do you think their postcards say, like, pop the cork in Cork?
Well, I'm sure some do for people like you.
I mean,
you would have bought that.
I definitely would have.
So Anne's life started a bit different. So she was the daughter of a man named William Cormac, or Cormac is what I've seen. So given that they're Irish, it probably is Cormac. Anyway, so he was an attorney and married. But he had an affair with their maid named Mary Brennan. And Mary was Anne's mom.
Oh.
So she was born from this illicit affair.
Oh, that's a good song by Taylor Swift. Also, I just feel like that's such a, like a dynasty, like soap kind of thing, you know? Like,
yes.
Where she might not have known her dad was her dad for a little bit. And then she found out, and then she was like the heir to his fortune, all the things.
So, of course, given the timeline of this story, some of the stuff is a little fuzzy as far as like when things happened. But her dad wanted to be a part of her life. But given that she was like his illegitimate child, it posed a problem because he didn't want it to end his marriage. And him being an attorney, they were like upper class. And so it came with its own issues of having this illegitimate child with the help.
Which is so wild because, okay, when you look at all the, okay, I'm going to say like Game of Thrones and yeah, all of that, but like when you look back then with kings and stuff like that, they always had illegitimate children with, you know, quote unquote, like the help or
yes,
peasants or whatever. And it's like, that's just what they did.
I know.
Like, I know. That's it.
Because they are dickheads and they're going to take what they think is theirs.
Right.
Because people were viewed as property.
Mm-hmm.
So William actually moved to London. Now I'm a little fuzzy on who all went with him because I think his wife stayed in Ireland and he went to London to like work. He moved to London and took Anne with him. But he didn't want people asking questions. So he made Anne live as a boy. So he was like, hey, this is like my nephew from someone who like passed away and I'm taking him in. But then some stuff said he made her pretend to be a boy, like she was like clerking for him almost, like she was an apprentice who was training.
Oh.
So either way, she was forced to live as a boy to hide the fact that she was his daughter.
Wow.
So word got out that this is what was happening. And his wife found out back in Ireland. So in order to kind of get away from it all, they all moved to America. They moved to Charleston, South Carolina. Now there, William McCormick did pretty well for himself. He ended up being able to buy a plantation. But unfortunately, Mary contracted typhoid fever in 1711 and passed away. So if the timeline of when Anne was born, she had probably been about 13. Some stuff even put her birth into like 1702. So she was probably anywhere from 9 to 13 when her mom passed away. Now, they say that after Mary Brennan passed away, that's when Anne really started having trouble. Like they say she had a fierce and courageous temper. And that's when she really started to like put her foot down with stuff and show that kind of fiery side of her. I think some of it though, and they touch on this on the Female Criminals podcast that we talk about, I think that some of it is because she got a taste of what it was like to live as a man or a boy in this time period and was like, wait, this sucks. I can't do anything as a girl and I could do everything as a boy.
Yeah.
People treated me so differently and I had so much more freedom and all this. And I think she was like, fuck this. This sucks.
Right.
Now, this part of the story, most people say is probably folklore, but they say that she had gotten into an argument with a girl, they're calling her a servant girl, who she ended up stabbing with a kitchen knife.
What?
Yes. Now, some stuff says that she killed the girl. Some stuff said, like, she just harmed her. But allegedly, right around this time is when she was just like, fuck everything and started doing all kinds of shit. I think that that really is probably more folklore to show you, like, how rebellious that she was. But right. I'm like, rebellious and just like pulling a knife on a young girl you're around your age and stabbing her, very different things.
Right.
And then, okay, so this next part, it kind of annoys me the way that this picture is painted, because people will be like, she viciously attacked, or like she beat this man up, or she, you know, did all this stuff. And it's like, okay, so as she was getting a little older, a guy that she was supposed to, like, see about courting and all tried to rape her.
Oh, my God.
And she fought back. And so, wow. Yeah, and so that is getting very much painted, like, she beat this guy up and, or, you know, she attacked him or all right. that. And it's like, no, he fucking attacked her and she defended herself.
Exactly. She is the victim here. And then she's a victim again with y'all painting the picture wrong.
Right. Well, he ended up living, but they say that really she did attack him to the point where he really did almost lose his life. Now, remember, her father's like a very upstanding citizen, very prominent in the community, and wanted her to, you know, find someone kind of on their level where it would be like a mutual symbiotic relationship where everybody benefited from everyone. But old Anne was not about that life. She liked to go to the taverns. She liked to hang out with people who drank and partied and have fun. She was not about trying to find some man like her dad wanted to be like this stuffy aristocratic life. I don't even know if it's aristocratic, but you get the point.
Yeah.
Like, picture the Aristocats. That's what I'm thinking, really. Like, she.
That's one of my favorite gifts.
Very much so. Like, there's probably a million, but I know the one you're talking about is her fluffing her hair.
Yes.
So her dad hated this, of course. And her dad was really trying to push her to settle down with these different people. And she was like, no. And she met a guy named James Bonney. Now, he was a sailor. And around this time, that seems to be what most of the men did. Some sort of sailor, whether it's, you know,
they had a lot of seamen.
Yes. Whether it's from military, goods, all the things.
Like merchants?
Yeah, those. Okay. Okay, so James was a sailor and a really terrible one at that. So Anne actually ended up marrying James Bonney, i.e., you know, I mean, not like I'm burying the lead on that. I told you her name was Anne Bonney, but she married him probably around 1718. So her dad was pissed that they got married, right? And literally, like, threw her out of his house and disowned her. And she was like, cool. I see you, and I'm going to set fire to your plantation.
What?
This is, I think, one of those things, too, that's a little bit of folklore, but allegedly she set fire to his plantation in retaliation, but...
Who is she, Adele?
But that's probably not true. Same with the stabbing of the young girl, probably not true.
Yeah, but, okay, so he kicked her out of his house, but she was married, so she wouldn't be living there anyway.
Right, well, this guy had, like, no money... So
they were living with him?
Yeah. So James Bonney married her thinking that he was going to get her daddy's money, and they didn't. And she married him thinking, like, oh, my God, he's going to be like all these people that I've been drinking and partying with, like all these, like, amazing sailors who do all these cool things. And, well, spoiler alert, he was not like that. He was boring as fuck and did not make a good living to support them on the water. But when... her dad disowned her, she and her husband moved to what is now known as Nassau in the Bahamas.
I've been there. And guess what I did? Went to the casino. But in the casino, there's like a little aquarium, basically. I mean, is that not the most me thing ever?
Yes.
A casino with an aquarium, but that aquarium was hot as fuck because there was like no air.
So here's the thing with this part of Nassau at the time. It was known to be a sanctuary for pirates. Did you see that coming?
I did not.
So there was a lot going on with this governor who was trying to basically get rid of all of the pirates. And they had offered them like pardons if they would just come forward and like turn away from their piratry, whatever it is. Like if they'd stop being pirates, they could be pardoned and not have to face any punishment. And then like, we'll help you find work, whatever.
Mm-hmm, but they're like, yo-ho, it's a pirate's life for me.
Well, some did, but actually a lot really did say like, oh, this is, while this is kind of a lucrative career as a pirate, like, I want to be home or, I don't want to live on a ship. Like, I want to, you know, be here with family or whatever. And so they would, and then they would try to like kind of help them find a job. However, a lot of them who did that ended up becoming essentially bounty hunters for pirates as well.
Oh, damn.
So some of them were like, abso-fucking-lutely not. I'm not doing that. Like, I will never turn on my friends. They're like, I'd rather die as a pirate and be, like, convicted or whatever than turn on my friends.
What would you do? Like, say that you did say, okay, I accept the pardon, and then they told you that was your job. Would you do it or would you not do it?
Probably not.
It'd be so hard.
It would be hard. But, like, I think, I don't know that they were necessarily forced.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that they were, like, forced to do that if as part of their deal. Like, I don't think that that's what it was.
But isn't it interesting, though, because I'm just thinking, we think it's a good thing when there's, like, a white-collar criminal mastermind who works with the FBI to... Isn't that a show called White Collar? But you know what I mean? It's like, that's amazing. Like, he's going to use his skills for good. But then for this, we were like, no.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I think it's because pirates seem so fictional. And so it seems so like grandiose and like the Johnny Depp of it all, you know?
Yeah. And maybe it's like in my head, though, pirates have a hard life. Like they're doing it because they can't do anything else or they haven't been given that opportunity. And what I just talked about was like the white collar crime. So it's like they're doing it out of greed.
And taking advantage of people.
Yeah. And but, the pirates are doing it out of like more necessity.
Yeah.
Again, who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, either way, like you're stealing something from somebody.
Okay. But you know, when you said Johnny Depp, what's another pirate you think of?
When you say a name, I'll be like, that's who, but I can't think of the name.
Well, I thought you were going to say Captain Hook, but okay.
Okay. I thought of that a second ago because I almost said like you think Captain Hook, like, but he was more of a bad guy, you know, like he embodied the more like the bad person of the pirate versus, okay, I've never seen one of the Johnny Depp movies, but like, I just,
what?
Yeah. I've never seen one of the pirates.
Never seen one of them? Like not even the first one?
No, but he's like a fun loving, like you root for him, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay. So like he's different than Captain Hook.
I mean, he's still like, he's one of those people. He's like Deadpool or like any of the superheroes from like, I know you didn't watch Deadpool. I also did not watch Deadpool, but I know from memes and previews, but it's like where they're villains, but they're like the likable villains.
Cause they're like funny and
yeah. But no, I was going to say that pirate where it's like Tom Hanks is on there too, I think, but he's like, I'm the captain now. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's like the Somalian pirates.
Mm-mm, don't know that.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Bye.
So all that drama to say, oh, James Bonney, though, was one of the people who was willing to work for bounties to find people. And Anne was like, I hate this about you.
Wait. He was Bonney the bounty hunter?
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
And she was super bored with James because she was like, bitch, you were supposed to be fun and you are lame. I'm over you. And he, of course, like I said, was like, bitch, gonna have that money. And she didn't. So she started hanging out I think she had already been, but she was like hanging out in town with the pirates, like drinking with them, hanging out. Because I learned on that female criminal podcast that actually pirates came to shore more often than you think, like more often than like people on ships, like merchant ships or military base, because they had to like sell their loot. So they actually came to shore more than you thought. So she was like hanging out with them, knew them all, you know, besties.
Also, it's not loot. It's their booty.
So the other thing was, girl liked to have fun with like men.
Okay, girl.
And she met a man named John Rackham, but he was known as Calico Jack because of the shirts and stuff that he wore was like calico. I don't really get it, but it was like bright and apparently looked like calico.
Okay.
But anyway, so she met old Calico Jack and was like, bitch, love you. And he was like, I'm into you too. But the problem was she was still married. Now, people didn't really get divorces back then. They did. But what happened a lot more often was that the new boy would be like, here, I'll just give you like the dowry amount that you got and we'll call it even.
What?
Yeah. So Calico Jack offered that to James, but James was like, no, not doing that. And then told his friend, the governor, who he had been working for as a bounty. And was like, hey, he's trying to buy my wife. And so the governor was like, absolutely not. You can't do this. And Anne, you need to come home. And so Anne and Calico Jack were like, peace out. He's a goddamn pirate. Like, bitch, we're leaving.
Yeah. You know, they put some motion in that ocean.
Ma'am. Okay. So what she did was, in the middle of the night, she dressed as a man like she did when she was a kid. And they ran off. She got on his ship with him, with all of his pirate buddies, and off they went.
If the boats are rocking, don't come a-knocking. That's what you should have said when...
No, I shouldn't have. I love that you say something like that, and we're just like, no.
No.
But it's actually funny.
Oh, you think it is?
No.
Oh.
I do. Not. Okay. So, I've seen a couple of things. One where it was like, they were actually pretty respectful to women, but then I've also seen, like, pirates, because they were considered more of, like, the outcast. And then there were a lot of pirates who, like, had escaped, like, slave ships and stuff. And so there would be, you know, different ethnicities in there, too. And it was, like, as far as pirates, they were all equal. And it gave people of color a chance to move up in society and be equal to people that not on the ocean, they wouldn't be equal with. But then on the flip side, this like, a woman can't be on a ship, that's bad luck. That seems to be what most people are like, no, it's bad luck. Or they're worried about a woman distracting the sailors from what they're trying to get done. Because, you know, you got to be on top of your shit if you're steering a boat.
Yeah, you can't be on top of your girl.
Right. But it seems like, for the most part, like, while she snuck away as a man to be on the ship, it seems like Calico Jack's crew knew that she was a woman and that they were like, hate this, but can't really do anything about it. He's the captain, so here we are, you know? Now, there is one story that apparently there was someone on the ship who was like, I hate this bitch being on here. And so she was like, huh, step up to my face and say that, because she was a bad bitch, and that he was like, okay, I don't like you being on this. And they fought like hand-to-hand combat, and she fucking stabbed him in the heart and tossed his body overboard.
Okay, so I'm taken back that she might have actually set fire to the plantation, and she might have actually stabbed another person.
Well, because the thing was, is that Anne Bonny was like part of the crew. When they would go on board to another ship to like take them hostage and do all the things, loot them, or what are we calling it? Stealing their bounty? What is it?
Booty.
Stealing their booty. She would dress like a man and jump on that ship and fight with them. Like, so she wasn't just like chilling back. She was part of the crew. And then, like I said, would dress like a man to go fight just like they did.
Who is she, Mulan?
So there's one ship in the West Indies that, you know, that they had like taken over. And part of the pirate code was that whoever they took as hostages could like join forces with them and be like, okay, now do you want to be on our crew or you want to like not?
Like you want to walk the plank or okay. join us?
So on the female criminals, they say that that's actually not, that never happened.
Really?
Like they created that for like movies and stuff. Anyway, so there was a person on this crew that Anne had actually kind of taken a liking to that she was like, okay, he's kind of cute, like kind of digging him, kind of having fun with him, kind of liking this.
Wait, so sorry, real quick. So is this one of the people that they went yes. on and captured and they joined?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And Anne just really felt like connected to him and they like hung out and like we're starting to kind of, some stuff says develop a relationship. Now, as rare as Anne was being a female pirate, unbeknownst to Anne, they had actually captured another female pirate. And the guy that Anne had been so intrigued with was another female pirate named Mary Read.
Skirt!
I know!
Okay, twist and turns over here.
Right? So Mary had a life much like Anne. She was a, quote, illegitimate child that had the same thing, been dressed as a boy in order to help her family make ends meet. Because her dad had died when she was, like, really young. And so when they started out, like, being kind of okay with money, when he died, you know, again, we're talking 1700s, that put them in dire straits. So Mary Read dressed as a boy to be able to do, quote, boy jobs, man jobs, and make more money. Because, like, Mary worked, like, running next to this stagecoach as a boy and made more money doing that than she would have as a girl, as, like, a servant girl in the house.
So, wait, she had to run along the stagecoach?
I heard that on that female podcast, too. I never heard of that. But it's, like, to keep it from falling over or something. Don't know.
Oh, shit.
I know. I'm like, damn, Forrest Gump.
Yeah, that ain't gonna be me.
No. So Mary was often known as Mark. Like, that was her other persona when she was, like, working and stuff. So Anne was the only person on the ship that knew Mary's secret. Now, a lot of people think that Mary and Anne actually did become lovers because of their connection, but they spent a lot of time together. And what happened was, old Calico Jack got jealous, like big jealous, because there's this cute man and like Anne's becoming real good friends and he has a problem with it.
That's so hard. You're keeping this person's secret and let's say that they weren't having an affair and it was just like, you got this all wrong. She's a girl. Like Mark is Mary. Oh my God. Q. Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? But like you can't because you would out her, like her big secret, and it would never be the same because Anne was accepted more because she was with the captain.
Right.
Mary didn't have that.
Well, the problem too, though, is it's like, okay, fucking Calico Jack, you're not that great. Like, because not long before this, he'd fucking dropped Anne off in Cuba because she had become pregnant.
What?
Yeah. So she got pregnant and, you know, she's a fucking pirate. So what, you gonna have a baby on a pirate ship? So he dropped her off in Cuba for her to have the baby. We don't know whatever happened there. We don't know, like, there's no birth records or anything. So we don't know, like, did she actually have the baby? Did she lose the baby? We don't know. But she did, like, meet back up with him later and continue on with the pirate things. And then that's when they met Mary. So it's like she probably has a lot of issues with old Calico Jack because he literally dropped her off and then was like, catch on the flip side, hit me up when you're not pregnant anymore, kind of thing, you know. And with her mom, you know, they're just that's there's a lot of trauma up in that. So Calico Jack was jealous of Anne and air quotes Mark's relationship. So he literally was about to kill Mary Read because he thought that, you know, it was a man when they were finally like, okay, wait. Like, okay, she's actually a girl. And so then he got in on the secret.
Oh, I thought you were about to say then they became a throuple.
Well, some people think that they did.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, some people really, like a lot of people think that they did. I'll tell you why later. So Anne and Mary together basically became like the dynamic duo. Like when they would raid another ship, they would be like the first people on the next ship. And they fought dressed as men, hand-to-hand combat, like sword in one hand, pistol in the other. And they fought just as hard, if not harder, than all the men. So they had all started developing this reputation as like, okay, we need to take them down. Like the priority FBI's most wanted list, like we got to take down Calico Jack and his crew. But in October of 1720, the crew had a big old haul from a ship they had just done. Now they had taken it to the land to like sell all the things, bought all the alcohol, because you know, rum was not cheap back then. Still isn't, but anyway. And the crew was having a fucking blast. Like I'm talking drinking to blackout drunk. Well, what happened was the law done caught up with them though. So Mary and Anne actually notice this boat like coming up to them way faster than it should be. So they start shouting to the crew like, get the fuck up, like shit's going down, like get up, wake up. But they were all like passed out drunk. Some of them even were like, fuck off, we're going down to the like below deck area, we're not dealing with this. So they were fucking pissed because they're left up there to defend everything on their fucking own. So literally, Mary screams at them, if there's a man among ye, you'll all come up and fight like a man you are to be. Basically, if you're a man, come fight like a fucking man. And at one point, she even fired a shot down there and killed one of the crewmen. Like, what come the? On, like, get up, come help me fight.
Well, now you're a man down.
So as hard as Mary and Anne fought, Law eventually captured them all and took them in. Now, what happened back then was that it was like a super swift trial. And if you were found guilty as a pirate, like you were put to death at this point because they were trying to put the fear in people to not be pirates. So they were all taken to Jamaica to stand trial. So all the crew had been sent to trial and convicted and were being put to death when Calico Jack's turn came up. And I'm not sure at this point if the people even knew yet that Mary and Anne were women. Like, I think at this point, they still thought they were men. So Calico Jacks came up and he was sentenced to death. And then it was Mary and Anne's turn. Now, they were also sentenced to death. But that's when they were like, hold the phone. Guess what? We're women. And guess what? We're pregnant.
Oh my God.
So they were like, well, fuck. We can't kill them because they're pregnant. So they like sent them to essentially just prison. Well, Calico Jack's like one of his last requests was that he was able to see Anne. And when Anne saw him, she was like, sorry you're here, but if you would have fought like a man, you wouldn't be hanged like a dog.
Damn.
And she was like, bye, motherfucker.
Wow.
Yeah. So from there, Calico Jack was hanged. And Anne and Mary were put in cells, like side by side, while they waited to give birth to their children. Now, Mary Reed actually died in jail on April 28th of 1721. And there's no record that shows that she ever actually had the baby, but they were both pregnant. Like they did whatever test they do in 1721, and they did know that they were both pregnant. But from there, nobody knows what happened to Anne Bonny. We don't know if she died in prison, but like if she did, why was there not a record of it? Like there's like a real record of it for Mary's death. So like, why wasn't there a record of it for Anne? Some people think she escaped, but a lot of people think that she actually did do boop 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 her dad. And by that, I mean, you know, hand wrote a letter, called her dad. And because he was so important, he actually got her out of prison. Mm. And she went back to South Carolina and like They think that she got married and had more kids and, like, lived her life out.
Wow. I didn't even think about her dad. I was thinking about calling her ex-husband because he was close to the governor.
Yeah, but this was in Jamaica, and that was in Nassau.
True. Shit.
Yeah, so we actually have no idea what happened to Anne Bonny.
Yeah, there would have been a record of it if there was a record of Mary's. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wow. That was a, like, a ride.
I know. I'm like, thank you all. That's interesting.
That was very interesting.
Yes.
Also, who was Mary's baby daddy?
Well, that's the thing about, are they a throuple? Because they think that they were both pregnant by Calico Jack.
Right.
Because, like, he's the only one that knew that she was a woman.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's like, who else knew then? Because, what? Like,
right.
There's got to be one part where it's like, so here's the thing.
Right. Well, and I mean, I think that Anne was very sexually active, like with multiple men. And so, I mean, who knows if maybe there was another, because they were all ended up being cool with Anne being there. So who knows if maybe more people ended up finding out about Mary? We don't know. But they may have had to tell more people so that Calico Jack could save face of his girl hanging out with this man and him being cool with it and not fighting it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they may ended up having to tell. So there's really no way to know who the parents were.
This is wild.
Yeah. And truly, if they really were pregnant, because, I mean, it's not like they could do, like, a sonogram, you know?
Yeah.
It seems to point, the records point to, they really were actually pregnant, because they wouldn't have just halted their execution without proof, you know?
Yeah. I liked it. I really did.
I thought it was a nice little change of pace and little palate cleanser.
For sure. Okay, so two things. My story really is short.
I know. I was like, this story's probably going to be short. And then we talk the whole time about nonsense.
But also, when you said Charleston, I was like, ugh.
Is that where your story's based in?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Right? Okay, so I watch Summer House on Bravo, and I went down a rabbit hole the other night. I couldn't sleep, and I had watched it. So I went down a rabbit hole on TikTok with one of the cast members. Her name is Paige DeSorbo, and I freaking love her. But her boyfriend is Craig from Southern Charm. Now, I watched that for, like, the first season, I think, but I don't know if he was on there. I don't remember him, but I know him from these crossovers that they do with Summer House.
I watched Summer House its first season. No, I think first two seasons, but I never watched it after that.
Ugh, I freaking love it. They also have a Winter House thing too now, and I'll watch that too.
I just do not understand how they, like, do the Summer House thing all weekend and then go back to work the next Monday.
Right.
Like, I'm exhausted for them.
They party so fucking hard.
Yes. I'm like, how are they functioning at work?
I have no idea. And they all have, like, such busy lives.
And, like, real jobs.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they live in New York, too. So, I mean, like, they're hustling and bustling, you know? Not for me. I would have been like, I'm out. Like, I'm done. But anyway, okay. So, Paige was on TikTok because she's, like, a big content creator. She was visiting Craig in Charleston. That's where he lives. And she was doing some kind of thing. And she's like, this might not go together, but it's very Charleston. And, like, was just talking. And I was like, I want to go to Charleston just because, like, what you see, like, on social media and all of that, it is, like, those pastels. And it's just, like, such that Southern charm.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm going to do a story in Charleston. Little did I know that Carrie's story would also take place in Charleston for a little bit. But when I was looking for stories, you know, I found a ton, but there was this one that I loved the title of, and it was called Pugin's Porch. And you know I love, I think they're called alliterations.
Yes.
Okay, because I was like, you know, sinister sightings. And also, just a heads up, if you love or know the zaddy of all paranormal podcasters, Brandon Schechtsnyder, I was looking on YouTube, and I saw that Southern Gothic had a mini-sode about Pugin's Porch. And, you know, his voice is much more sultry than mine. So I'm just saying you should give that a listen. And also by saying like it was a mini-sode, this one is a shorter one, but I couldn't get past the name and I'm doing it. So today, Pugin's Porch is a restaurant in Charleston, but we're going to start back in the past. So the house was originally built in 1888 and it's located at 72 Queen Street. Now it's a two-story single family house. And when you think of old Charleston, that grand Victorian type home, that's what it is. It was an up-and-coming neighborhood, and there were several families that called 72 Queen Street home over the years. But we're going to focus on the homeowners in the early 1900s. Zoe St. Amand and her sister Elizabeth moved into the house together. Now, tongues waggled about how the sisters were spinsters because they were unmarried and they had careers, you know, all the things.
How dare they?
That was really good.
Thank you.
But it didn't help that they were both kind of homebodies more than social butterflies. So they had like that real Grey Gardens vibe going on. And I mentioned careers. So both for Zoe and Elizabeth, it was education. Zoe was a school teacher and she looked the part too. So when you think of 1900 school marm or whatever, she had really long dresses. That's what she wore, usually black. She had those thin wire-framed, like rimmed framed glasses. And I just picture it like on either the tip of her nose or like perched really high on the bridge.
Yeah.
And Zoe was a tough teacher, which again, I feel like when you're picturing her, like you could picture her scolding a child or whatever with her little like thin wire rimmed glasses, her long black dress, unless you're not me and that's not how your brain works, but that's what I was picturing. You love to picture things. What did you picture?
No, yeah, totally that. For some reason, all I can think about is, you remember that fourth grade teacher you had that threw erasers at people?
Mm-hmm. Do I ever?
I don't know why. I just can't. I'm just thinking about her the whole time. That would never fly like her erasers in this day.
Ugh. You know what? My mom just turned over in her urn being like, that motherfucker.
Yeah, you got out of that class though.
I did, because my mama.
I know.
And do you want to know why she yelled at me, the teacher? Because I had Velcro on my sandals. And I was like, I wanted it perfect. And it wasn't perfect. And so I just kept like. And like, she was like, teaching, I'm listening, we're doing it. And she was like, and Donna Elwin, if you do that one more time. I was like, and I'm done. I'm sorry.
I wish you would just be like.
Now I would have.
Yes.
Then I was like, ooh. Oh, God. Anyway, you know what? Have a mom like Patty Jo, because that motherfucker went up there and they're like, no, that teacher is great. And my mom watched through the fucking door and was like, no, did you see how she just threw that eraser? Like, she's fucking terrible. Get my daughter out of there.
She saw her throw an eraser?
Yes.
Jesus, God.
And how she was yelling and stuff. Like,
yeah,
it was
so bad.
It was so bad. How is it that I never think of this stuff in therapy to talk about, and then I can just, like, unleash it on
you? Well, I thought of that for you.
True. Okay, why can't you be in my therapy session with me then?
Donna, we are codependent enough.
I really would. Can I do a phone a friend real quick? Carrie, tell me some of my issues I need to work on. And then you know what you would do?
I'd be like, insert therapist name. Bitch, get out your notebook.
I thought you were going to do that. Na-na-na-na-na-na, like how you do,
yeah, like unfurl a scroll. Yes,
it's a fucking word.
I guess I just made it up. If it's not,
I thought it was unroll, but you said unfurl.
Yeah, I think it's a word.
Oh, y'all couldn't see me, but my eyes kind of crossed because I was like, wait, what? Never heard that word.
Yeah, unfurl. Thank you, dictionary.com. Make or become spread out from a rolled or folded state.
What? Who? All right. Well, society really didn't accept Zoe or Elizabeth. So kind of like in your story where, you know, if they were men, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
They weren't men, so it wasn't fine. And you know what? They chose, just like your girl, not to let that defeat them. So they stayed home and they enjoyed each other's company. And they really did form a tighter bond that transcended siblings. You know, they were each other's soulmates in a way. And that's kind of how I think about my mama. However, over the years, Elizabeth's health declined and she ended up passing away in 1945. And without Elizabeth, Zoe was lost because Zoe really was more of the homebody than Elizabeth. Elizabeth loved to stay at home with Zoe, but she could like function in society. She would at least get out and talk to people and do the things, but Zoe was not that type. And now Zoe was a lot older. You know, she had become so codependent with Elizabeth that she couldn't imagine a world without her in it. And Zoe didn't have Elizabeth to keep her company anymore when she was withdrawn at home. So the house felt emptier, life felt lonelier. And I totally get that now, especially since Marbu passed. I completely understand the phrase of silence can be deafening. However, Zoe did not have amazing friends and community like I do to help pull her out of that mental state and everything. And her mental health was diminishing until she was no longer herself at all. The depression had completely taken over and she didn't know how to go on living. She would walk up and down Queen Street crying out Elizabeth's name, pleading for her to return, asking people to help her find her sister, you know, all of that. And people were really like, she has gone mad. Well, one night, one of the neighbors finally approached and talked to Zoe and urged her to go to the local hospital, which was like, you know, a mental health facility, where she did go. She was checked in and she ended up staying there until she passed away in 1954. And she's now buried in St. Lawrence Cemetery with the rest of her family.
God, that poor thing.
I know. And you'd think she'd be at peace being buried by her family, but it doesn't seem so likely that she's at rest at all, but we'll get to that a little bit later. First, we're going to fast forward to the 1970s when Queen Street started changing from strictly residential to having some commercial property in the neighborhood. And so the neighborhood started to grow in a different direction. And soon the house that was formerly the home of Zoe was bought in hopes of turning it into a restaurant. And this is when Bobby Ball enters the chat. She moved from West Virginia to Charleston, and she was working another job, which I think it was a court reporter, which is really freaking cool. But again, she had a dream that wasn't recording down other people's stories. She wanted to tell her own through food and building a community, and she really wanted to open a restaurant. So she decided to take the leap, and she bought the property. She began renovating the house, and one day she just kept noticing that there was this dog that kept coming to the house day after day. And it knew when the food was being served and eaten, you know, like contractors taking lunch, all of that. Now, there's two origin stories, but I think honestly both can be true. You'll get what I mean. The first said that the dog was left behind by its owners, and so it stayed at that house waiting for the owners to come back and to get him. The other version said that he was a neighborhood dog that was basically adopted by the neighborhood. He didn't really belong to anyone, but everyone would feed him, take him in if it was too cold, that kind of thing. Now, he was a white Wheaton Terrier, or that's what he looked like. That's what he was like most breeded with, like that. They don't know because they think he might have been kind of a mixed breed, but that was a prominent breed that they could identify. Now, I say both origin stories can be true because, you know, he wasn't so much of a mutt. Like, if you think about a dog that just comes up, you know, when a dog is like a neighborhood dog, it's not normally like a white Wheaton Terrier. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's that. But also, you never know. The owners could have had some circumstance where they couldn't take the dog with them. And they left him there thinking that the other people would take care of him, like knowing that. Not saying that's right. I'm just saying, I feel like a lot of neighborhood dogs come from those who are strays from families. So I feel like, again, both could be true. You know what I mean? Like, he could have been abandoned by his family, but also he was adopted by the neighborhood and they took care of him. Well, Bobby joined in caring for the dog and soon learned that the porch was a dog's favorite spot to be in. And the dog really didn't have a name, so Bobby started calling him Pugin. And Pugin's porch was basically born. Now, some people say that they did not name the restaurant Pugin's Porch right away, but others say, no, that was the original name. But I couldn't find any source, even from Bobby, that verified either version. But by the time the restaurant was opened in 1976, Bobby had officially adopted Pugin, and he was no longer, you know, having to beg for scraps or anything like that. Pugin was the unofficial greeter of the restaurant, and he would stay on that porch and welcome all the patrons. And even though he didn't have to beg for scraps, he was known to give a few sad puppy dog eyes, you know, looking at people eating. So he would make his rounds to get some leftovers. However, 3 years after the restaurant opened, Pugin passed away.
Oh.
Now, it was 1979. He was 9 years old. He died from natural causes. Well, Bobby decided to dedicate the restaurant to her soul dog, Pugin, and thus the name was changed to Pugin's Porch. Or it was always a name, who knows? But one thing is for certain, Pugin is buried in the front yard with a marked grave close to his favorite spot, the porch.
Love that.
Right? So this brings us to the paranormal portion of the story. And there's two ghosts that haunt the restaurant, and that's Zoe and Pugin. Now, Zoe didn't pass away at the house, but she spent decades there with her beloved sister, who was her everything. And people have seen her in her long black dress and her glasses, and most of the time she's seemingly still searching for her sister. They've even heard her call out Elizabeth's name. Now, there's other phantom sounds that are heard, like walking, whispering, even some water faucets that are turned on by themselves, as well as lights and radios, which always takes me back to when you would go to, like, Florida and stuff, like, or even back to Houston and stuff. You would find those water faucets always on.
Literally all the time. And then it just stopped.
Yeah.
I would find them here, too. Although, do you know what Colby told me the other night? He said, do you know what I woke up to this morning? And I was like, no, what? He said, you left the water on in the sink all night.
Oh my God.
I was like a lot? And he was like, I mean, it was enough that when I woke up, I heard it.
Oh my God.
I was like, ugh, there goes that water bill.
Shit.
Yeah. Just add that to the washer.
Probably because you're not used to the two handles.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the bathroom, there's people who have met Zoe in the ladies' bathroom without knowing that she was a ghost. Like, yes, she looked a little peculiar, but okay. And they would usually see her in the mirror. So they'd see a woman standing behind them. And then when they took a second look, she'd be gone. And there was no one else in the ladies' room. And there is a picture of her in the restaurant. And they'd be like, holy fuck, that's that lady I saw. Many employees have also said that they will hear sounds coming from upstairs when they know no one is on the second floor. And they also have felt like they're being watched and stuff, but when they turn to see if anyone's there, no one is. One of the staff members was just doing their nightly cleanup, and she said that she had that weird sensation, like something eerie's going on, but, you know, it was just a normal night, so she just brushed it off. But as much as she tried to shake it, she couldn't. She was unnerved by something. She was in the bathroom cleaning up when she looked at the mirror, and she was startled to see not her reflection, but an older woman with wire-rimmed glasses looking back at her, and she knew no one else was around. Then there was one time the chef was opening up, and he was doing his whole routine, and he set his coffee cup on the stairs. Well, he came back to the staircase to take a sip, but it was gone. And so he was like, oh, well, okay. You know, like I was hustling and bustling. Why am I saying that so many times this season? Yeah, right. Why am I saying that so many times? But he was like, okay, cool. I'll make another one. Maybe like something happened to that. And he needed his caffeine. So he went, made another cup. But when he returned to the hall to put his coffee cup right where, you know, back where it was, he saw his previous cup sitting there like it hadn't been touched, other than some faint lipstick markings.
What?
Right. Now, instead of opening the restaurant, Bobby was closing one night, and she said that she heard a loud clattering behind her, and when she turned to look, she saw one of the stools had basically tumbled on the floor, and then when she was like looking at that, one of the doors slammed closed. Now, the thing is, both of them were made of sturdy, like hefty wood. It wasn't just something that would easily blow over or blow like open. Now, there is a pastry chef who was working overnight to get something done for an upcoming event. And she had the radio going, just doing her thing. Then all of a sudden, the radio got ungodly loud, and it was like the channel had changed itself. So she thought, someone must be fucking with me. But she was all alone, so she was like, whatever, technology do be like that sometimes. But then it happened again, and she ended up having to turn the radio off. But like I said, people will hear the radio playing by itself. Then there was another night where there was a waiter who was closing up, and they had walked up to the second floor, and they noticed that, like, you know, all the chairs were kind of pulled out where they should have been for the closing, but the tablecloth on the table, you know, like when you sit there, how it's going to indent in mm-hmm. because your legs are there. That's how it was, as if someone was sitting at the table. Now, they also have some people who say, like, their glassware and stuff gets knocked over easily. And it really happened, too, when they were doing construction and stuff. Like, things would get knocked over. And they say, like, you know, she was, like, a strict teacher. And, like, she was more of, like, that type A personality. Like, she wanted it her way. And then, like, they were remodeling. They were doing things that she might not have liked. And so she let them know. Another thing, when Zoe was by herself looking for Elizabeth after she had passed, she would wave to people out the bedroom window. And I think, like, that was her way of trying to have community and be nice. But then also, I don't know, maybe she also thought that was Elizabeth outside. We don't know. But apparently, she still does that in the afterlife. So there's a hotel across the street. It's called the Mills House Hotel. And there have been several guests who have seen an older woman in the window waving to them. But once there was this guest who saw her, and it looked like she was pleading for help, like she was hitting against the window. So, of course, this woman called the police, and they were like, oh my God, like, you have to go over there. Like, someone's being held hostage. Like, they need help. Went over there. No one was there. The alarm was set. Like, there's no way anyone, like, could have been playing a prank or anything. And so they were like, oh, fuck. Now, I said that there were two ghosts, and the other one is Pugin. He's been known to rub up against people's legs, and he loves playing with kids. And you can hear the click-clacking of his nails on the wood floor.
Sweet baby.
I know. So if you want to go and see if you can get a glimpse of Zoe or feel Pugin's fur against you, make a reservation. You can also eat on the patio or the porch with your dog.
Oh, love that.
Right? And, you know, like we say, animals can see things, so they might have their own experience there. Also, if you don't want to just go for the spookies, because that's not guaranteed, you are guaranteed to have some good-ass food, because they have all the food that sounds amazing. Always a winner for me, fried green tomatoes.
I knew it. I was going to say, do they have fried green tomatoes?
But then they also have fried pimento cheese, too.
Oh, love that. With pepper jelly. Perfect.
So good. I was like, those two things right there, sign me up. Sign me fucking up.
So we're going to take a road trip.
I would love to. But it sounds like you're booked up for the whole rest of your life.
For sure, for the next month.
But like I said, it was short and sweet, but like, I just love Pugin's porch.
Yes.
And then, like, you hear all of that. Ugh, I don't know. I just love it.
Yeah, I love the dog aspect of it, but I really hate that she's like wandering, looking for her freaking sister for all of eternity.
I know. One thing I do like is that even though that they've had like some experiences there, it's not like she's harming them. Some things get knocked over, you know, whatevs, but like, it's not like she's like one of those like creepers that crawl on the wall and do all the things. So I hope that it's just kind of a loop.
Well, I was going to say, do we think then it really is her then? Like, could it really be like a, like you were just saying, like a loop or something?
I hope so. I hope she is at rest. But it's listed as one of the most haunted restaurants in Charleston, because they say, like, you're probably going to get a glimpse of her. You know what I mean? Like, she does make herself known, but again, it's more in, like, the mirrors, like, the reflections, you know, just, like, things being moved around a little bit. So, who knows?
Well, I want to go.
Me too. Though I will say that if I was outside and I felt something rub up against my leg, I would think it was a critter, not a ghost dog. I would much rather a ghost dog, but I don't want to hurt Pugin's feelings. But I feel like I would shake my leg and, like,
yeah,
move my arm, like, swat it away.
Yeah, that would, like, that's more like a cat move to me than a dog move. So I would be like, ah, what's going on? Like, just come put your little paw on me or something.
But you know who would give it leftovers? Colby.
For sure. Colby is a feeder to me and animals. I liked our little palate cleanser episode. Yeah. I feel like we've had some heavy ones lately.
Yeah.
So I feel like this was, like, a good little break from some of the real heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Well, y'all let us know what y'all think. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe, review, all the things.
Oh, and let us know, how do you cut your sandwiches? And also, would you rather teeth for hair or hair for teeth?
And don't overthink it. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.